Well, what an incredible last year. What an incredible last season we've been in, really, that I think the Lord has been using as a turning point for the church to come out of COVID into a new season. And because God is in control, he can use anything to advance his gospel. And so today on this special day, Vision Sunday, I want to take a few minutes to answer three questions as we gather together today. And it's this, you know, how are we doing? What have we learnt? And what's next? So here's the first one. How are we doing? Well at times we've felt exhausted, haven't we, if we're being really honest. You know, I think back to some of the conversations I've had with members of the church. I remember one person saying, you know, I do look forward to coming back to church in the near future to see who's still there. And so this past season has felt like a season of re-emerging for us, where folk have begun to check in with one another. In some cases, it's been, who are you? Because we've had so many new folk join the church, you know, so many precious folk join the church, and we're just totally thrilled that you're here, and thank you for joining Encounter. In other cases, it's like, ah, there you are, you're still around. And personally, I would say that it's been one of the toughest years of my life in many ways, you know, as we've come out of a COVID season without the resources that we had pre-COVID to carry us both physically, mentally, and emotionally, you know, and many ways what we've all been through has been like a perfect storm. I don't know whether you've ever seen that film, but it's like all these storms coming together, you know, that many of us have had to sort of deal with, that they could be financial, they could be health storms, they could be employment issues, you know, being stuck at home for very long periods of time. And on top of all that, there has been the increasing stresses of our culture. And in so many ways, all you have to do is to watch the news to know that this is a very traumatic season in many ways. But as we move through this tough season together, as we come out, hopefully, of this tough season together, that the theme that has really struck me has been this, that God is faithful. You know, for some, yes, as I've said, there have been health issues. You know, others are still discovering the employment or the financial implications of these past 2 years. And it can feel like there is this uncertainty and it can be scary. But as we look at the church, this local church, we would recognize that God has been so faithful to us as a community. And during the season, we have changed. I think I mentioned this last weekend, but Karen and I, we've just been away at a conference, and we found ourselves talking to other church leaders and whose churches are much smaller now than they were pre-COVID. But that is not true of us. Despite all that we've been through, we have experienced real favor. Not everyone has come back. Some still join us online, and we're thrilled that you're here today. You know, we now have friends who are part of this wider community who have never been here, but support us in prayer and financially. You know, we have others who are part of this family, but for all sorts of reasons have been displaced. And I'm grateful that by God's grace, we have managed to navigate some of the tensions that have marked out this past season. Like, you know, what are we going to do about masks? What are we going to do about in person? You know, what are we going to do about vaccines? You know, what are you doing about Boris? You know, what are you doing about the Ukraine? And you know, you will know that prayerfully, we, the leadership team, the trustees, have tried to follow the rules. We've tried to interpret the guidelines and ultimately follow Jesus in all these things. You know, and we've seen how all these subjects have been so polarizing for so many. But that hasn't happened here. So I praise the Lord, because I really believe that the Lord has cared for us and provided for us in this season. And in all of this, we have done whatever we could do to consolidate the life of this community and to serve those that are around us in the storm that we've had to navigate. Of course, you know, the past 2 years, we've had a season where we could not meet in person, you know, which is what the Lord used to take us online as we are at this moment, you know. And online, we now recognize, has become a significant front door through which so many others have joined us here at Encounter. So we've experienced real growth, real life in what in many ways has been a desert experience. You know, our reach has increased. We have folk joining us. You're joining us today online from different parts of the world. We want to say, give a big shout out to our friends that are around the world. We have some in America, India, different parts of Europe, you know, further afield. Some that are away on holiday and joining us today. Welcome to you, particularly. And in all of this, all that we've been through, our finances have been solid, if not better than that, actually. We've kept the doors open, we've kept the lights on, frankly. Of course, we have been, like everyone else, carefully monitoring our expenses. And there have been areas where we've been able to cut back, and we've done that. But it's also true that the Lord has really blessed us in this area. We have stayed financially in the black. You know, our regular monthly income has increased, and it continues to increase. You know, we've been blessed by your support on previous Vision Sundays. We've even actually, in the last 6 months, been able to unblock finance that was waiting in a particular account where people had given via the website, and the money had not come through to us, you know, money that had been given in the last few years, because the system that was holding the money for us had not been triggered. It should have been triggered many, many years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, when the system was set up, way before that we were here. But we've been able to do that, and that is now available to us. What does that actually mean in practice? Well, for the first time in a long time, the trustees are now in a position to have reserves in keeping with our policy for what we believe is wise and prudent fiscal control, in terms of having a reserves policy where we have, you know, about £35,000 in reserves. We need that because of those that we employ and sort of being sort of appropriate in responsibility. But it also means that we've been able to step out in faith to invest in a new kids worker, and you know, who's going to be involved in the kids work that goes on here, head us up in those areas, but actually help develop our community outreach amongst young families, something that we committed to last year that we've been able to do because of God's gracious provision. So we give thanks that we are a debt-free church, and that we're a church that is generous, and that is seeking to impact this community in this region and beyond in our mission and ministry. I am very, very grateful. And I want to say thank you to you for your generosity and your commitment in what have been tough times for us all, but for us here at Encounter, an exciting time. I want to say, as an aside, thank you to those of you that don't even belong to this family, actually, but are friends of the family. You're part of this increasingly wide circle of friends who believe in us, in what the Lord is doing here, and give to us. I want to say thank you to you. Bless you. And as I've been praying about today, I've had a sense that the Lord was giving me a word. And the word was this: for the one, for the one. You know, and whilst we know that God loves all people everywhere, all the time, you know, we also know that he when he changes lives, he changes lives one at a time. You see, God is for the one. You know, he's for the one that's lost. He's for the one that's broken. He's for the one who's in need of hope. And this is what compels us to do church, to be church, because we don't exist for ourselves. We exist for the glory of God, and we exist for those that don't yet know him. And we want God's vision for Encounter to be our vision too. So again, thank you for all that you have given towards all that the Lord is doing here. You know, during the last 2 years, and I want to talk about the last 2 years really, you know, as your giving has continued to rise, it has enabled us to do what we're doing. And with these financial resources that we've had, we've been able to continue to step out into what it is that we believe the Lord is calling us to, the vision that he has for us here at Encounter, which is to help people find and follow Jesus. And I honestly believe that with so many things in our lives that have been put on hold over the past couple of years, it is remarkable how God has given us the grace to keep moving forward together. Amen. I believe that. But in many ways, of course, the truth is that we're only just scratching the surface of what the Lord wants to do as we see lives being touched and transformed. And to continue to grow, continue to expand and to play our part in extending the kingdom, we will actually need to increase our giving too, to invest in future youth provision, to probably multiply celebrations at some time in the future to reach others that are in this region and beyond this region as we think through what it means to give ourselves to kingdom expansion and kingdom growth. And so if your life has been touched by God's ministry in this church, and if you're in a place where you can give, I want to ask you to consider, prayerfully consider how you will respond to this Vision Sunday as we are a church for the one and as we continue to walk out this vision together. Just really practically, you know, we believe that the figure we need to be aiming for on this Vision Sunday and Gift Day is for a figure of around £38,000 to cover projected expenditure this coming year and plus sort of future investment in missional activities. And our aim is to increasingly try to close the gap between income over expenditure, which has been closing over the last couple of years, but it's still, income's still about £1,500 short per month of expenditure. And if you have any questions about the finances, please come talk to myself, come talk to any of the trustees, but particularly Malcolm Hayes, who's our financial sort of governance trustee as well. And for those of you who want to or love to look at annualized accounts, etc., they are available online for you, and we want you to be able to look at those and read all about them. And when you are ready, in the light of today, you can either, you know, take the cards that are available in the building or respond to what is part of the letter in today's Sunday contact, okay, and respond to us by next week or the week after, okay, and to give as you sense that the Lord is leading you as we continue to do what he's called us to do together. As a place where we want people to be able to find and follow Jesus, a place where we say that everybody's welcome, where we recognize that nobody's perfect, where we want to affirm the significance of everybody, and to say that with God, anything is possible. I also want to say a huge thank you to anyone who serves here. You have been amazing over the past year. And as we have emerged into this new season, and I know there's been so much pivoting for so many of us. Some of us had to lay things down, others have picked things up, others have returned to ministries and areas of service, but you know, we're thrilled with the way that things are emerging. And we just want to say thank you to those of you that are in worship teams and kids teams and youth teams and toddler outreach sort of ministries and the maintenance teams and the hosting teams and the leaders of life groups, the ministry leaders, the techie teams, the production team, the people on sound, the cleaning teams, the gardening teams. I want to say thank you to the speakers that speak on a regular basis, and thank you to the trustees and the leadership team. You are all phenomenal, and I want to say thank you to you all. I want to pray God's richest blessing and favor over you, and I want you to give yourself a round of applause because you are amazing. Thank you for all your support, all your encouragement, which we so appreciate, and all your help. And in all of it, as I've said, God has been so faithful. But as a church family, we need to recognize that the world is shifting again. We're now learning to live with COVID. As we do that, we recognize that God has been kind to us. You know, we recognize that we have grown, our reach has extended. There has been, as I've said, financial blessing, as well as future challenges. And we have been and we are being reconfigured. And there has been, as far as I'm concerned, a growing sense of God's presence amongst us as we have been moving forward. Especially in many of our corporate gatherings, our Sunday celebrations can be incredibly powerful times of encounter, firefalls, encounter equips, these sort of corporate places, a very powerful at times. And, you know, you will know, because I've said this before, I've been involved over the years now in various moves of the Spirit of God. And there have been times when I have sensed the presence of God in this place, in the ministry here, as much, if not more, than the other times I've been part of significant moves of the Spirit. You know, we have men's and women's ministries beginning to flourish. Alphas, you know, happened again. You know, in terms of Faith Lamb, we have made a strategic appointment for the future in terms of kids' work and family work and outreach into the community. But there are others that we need to make, which I will touch on in a little while. In lockdown, we have really, really, because when something's taken away from you, we learn lessons, don't we? We really learn something about our need for connection. You know, but not just with each other, but as I've shared with the leadership team and the trustees and one or two others, I know that in this coming year, and this is very important, and I will return to it a little bit later on today, we will begin to explore what it means to be connected further afield to a stream or a movement. So, secondly, what have we learnt? That's the next question. And I just want to touch on this sort of briefing now, but I suspect that we'll be delving into this more fully in the year that lies ahead. Because I've genuinely sensed that the Lord has been saying to me that one of the worst things that we could ever do in this season is just try and flip back to what was, you know, what was the old normal, and just sweep where we've been under the rug, as it were. Because honestly, what we've been through and what we are going through at the moment in terms of world affairs, you know, that this experience is changing us. It has changed us. It's changing us all forever. You know, the truth is that this past year has seen us emerge out of COVID into a new dynamic. And we want to respond to this turning point that we think God wants to use to advance the kingdom. And I think there are a number of areas that I think will shape our life ahead as a community. And I just want to sort of go through those really, really briefly. But the first one is this, that we are living in a new cultural moment. There is a clash of cultures going on around us. You know, most of us knew the themes of postmodernism, post-Christianity, pluralism, etc. But now our society is increasingly divided around the clashes of these separate cultures. So I think as a church, we need to begin to understand what it means to speak into this, how we learn from each other. We need to understand how the gospel can advance in this new environment, this culture that we find ourselves in. And we know it's a whole new environment because so much of the discussion and the debates and the disagreements over the last year have been so confusing and so disorientating. You know, we can listen, you can listen to someone sharing their belief and you don't agree with them. But more disconcertingly is, and you find yourself saying, I just don't understand how you get there. You know, you're bright, you're intelligent, you love Jesus, you follow Jesus, and I just don't know how you get to the point that you got to. And that shows us, as sociologists and theologians are pointing out to us, that people are starting now from a fundamentally different place. The architecture of truth, you know, how we build our ethical and moral view and our view of what's reality and normative is now coming from such a different place that when we meet and talk about it, we just don't understand each other very often. And so we have to go as a church here at Encounter, okay, Lord, how in this moment do we follow you faithfully? And how do we work together in this culture? So that's the first one. We're living in a new cultural moment. Secondly, there is, I've observed, a deep hunger for real in-person church. I mean, as an aside, if you were in the building on Easter Sunday, wasn't that exciting? You know, to be absolutely packed out last Sunday, very full again. But Easter Sunday was incredible, and I had a sense that was a foretaste of what is to come for us. And I know some will continue, even want to continue online and joining with us in this way. But if the last 2 years have shown us anything, it is that whilst this may be good, it's not the same as in person. Why do I say that? Because we are communal creatures. You know, we are made in the image of the Trinitarian God, you know, where relationship is the air that we breathe. And so online will be a complementary presence where it adds to what we're doing in person. And we will want to continue to, and this is part of moving forward, you know, we want to continue to look at how we develop the real and authentic, you know, in-person gatherings that, that we have. Because we're not trying to create an artificial veneer here. We want to be real and honest and desperate with our hunger, which is not just a desire, but a necessity, really. So sometime, as I think about the future, I'm not saying next week or in the next 6 months, but sometime in the future, I suspect there will be a development of what happens on Sundays. I'm just putting it out there so it's not a surprise to anybody. I really love that Encounter Equip that we launched last year has morphed into something, emerged into something slightly different. You know, it's very conversational, you know, as we seek to explore and equip ourselves for kingdom living. But, you know, ultimately, it's because there is this desire for engagement and in-person church. You know, the third thing that I think we will need to focus on is deeper discipleship in tough areas. You know, I've been struck again in the last 2 weeks by a phrase that if Christ is not the center of it, then it's probably not the kingdom of God. And honestly, if we've seen anything over the last few years, it's how the wider church has really been quite chaotic around issues of race and politics and truth and conspiracy theories and the abuse of the prophetic and gender and sexuality and so on and so forth. And the last few years, I think, has revealed a lack of discipleship in these key areas, where maybe the loudest voice hasn't always been, what does Jesus want us to do, but what do I want? And because we love the word, and because we're followers of Jesus, and we want to be disciples of Jesus, at different times we're going to need to enter into, at times, theological reflections. Not necessarily around what I think about these issues, because it's not Marcianity, it's Christianity. It will be around, what does Jesus think? You know, we need to be people that wrestle with what does Jesus think. And if he's not at the center, then it's probably not the kingdom of God. And then we, you know, as we do that, then we have to make up our minds as to whether we choose to follow him or not, you know, because we can't impose our agenda upon him. So I believe that we will, in the year and the years that lie ahead, hopefully in humility and with hard work and theological reflection, explore what it means to be a disciple in some of these key areas. I even hope, and this is a hope that we might see materialize in the next 12 months, it's part of my hope, that we might have an annual theological lecture or presentation here at Encounter in and around key theme. And hoping I'll bring somebody in, but if we can't, you'll just have to put up with me. But hopefully it'll be something we can do. Fourth theme is that we need to be pursuing diversity. And what do I mean by that? Because I want to avoid confusion in that. You know, if the last 2 years has shown the church in the West anything, it is that social justice and diversity is something to be pursued with passion. And I don't know fully what that means for us yet here in the heart of the Cotswolds and how we make strides in this area. But I want to explore what it might mean for us here and what does it mean for us to build relationships with others. And I'm certainly not just talking about churches together in Winchcombe, okay? You know, but how can we learn from the mission of others and the worship of others? As I said, Karen and I were recently away at a conference. It was a Vineyard Leaders conference, and we were caught up in an act of worship where suddenly we were singing, Lord, I've been blinded by your grace, by the rapper Stormzy. And it left me praying, you know, about what it might mean to embrace a greater fullness and wondering, you know, how we can continue to create a rich diversity here at Encounter, because that is a reflection of the kingdom, and in the end it's part of the beauty of the kingdom, and in the end it's beauty that will save the world. Well, the fifth theme is accelerated deconstruction. You know, this past season, if it's done anything, has accelerated the deconstruction trend, where Christians raised in church environments are rethinking and questioning their faith, often in deep ways, to the extent, though, that many of them, tragically, are abandoning their faith. And we need to respond to that. You know, we need to help folk rethink and question their faith. You know, it may be because that there's been disappointing stuff, you know, in the life of the wider church. That's often true. We want to help people understand that you can find Jesus or meet with Jesus without abandoning the truthfulness and the beauty of Jesus. Because in the end, it is his beauty, as I've said, that will save the world. Finally, I think the sixth theme would be that we love this region. You know, we love this community that's around us, but we need to recognize that there are different, many, many different communities that we represent here in the Cotswolds. And we are ultimately an incarnational people. And I think the Lord is beginning to show us increasingly that he has placed us here and in the places where we live to bring his light and life into the darkness. You know, we are not just a local geographic community just huddling together doing sort of celebrations, worship services. We are called to this region to get into the shadows and the cracks and the crevices to bring the light of Jesus Christ. And when I say that we love this region, it doesn't mean that we love it like we love our favorite ice cream, you know, and mine is salted caramel. But we love it like Jesus loves us. You know, that we fill our hearts, which is why gathering together and worshiping together is so important and receiving more of his presence. But we fill our hearts with the love of the Father for this community and this region. And recognize that we're called to be here, and that we're called to serve, and that we're called to witness, and that we're called to get involved. You know, that is why God has gathered people together here in the first place. Yeah, and I think I've shared this in the past, but if I haven't, I want to say it up front. When we first came here over 3 years ago, now 3.5 years ago, I had this sense that the Lord had told me that I was never meant to ask anyone to join this church, which is strange for someone who's entrepreneurial and likes to gather people. But I had this real sense, and I wanted to be obedient because I sensed someone saying that he would send the people here that he wanted to have here. And so that's why you're here. That's why we're here, because the Lord has gathered us here. And those of us that are here, that are part of this community, we're called here and we're being shaped here. And as we move into the future, we're being shaped here so that we will continue to be incarnational people, followers of Jesus who reflect him where he's positioned us in this region. So now I just want to share a few things about what I think lies ahead of us. It's like, what's next? Because I don't want to go back to what was normal. I want us to step into the new. And the truth is, it falls upon every generation to reimagine how to live out the gospel or the kingdom in their context. And we have new challenges and new opportunities to do that. So as we look to the future, this has to be initially a season of reconnecting. This summer is a great opportunity for that, actually. You know, the invitation is always to reconnect with God, to reconnect with the church, to reconnect with each other. And so, you know, we have to keep developing our opportunities for engagement with one another here. And let me just revisit something I mentioned a little bit earlier on. I think that might mean for us that we have to connect further afield. You will know that we are an independent church, and as such, that means we have our strengths and our weaknesses. And I want to begin a journey, really, for us, of exploring what it might mean to belong to a stream that we can both be blessed by and be a blessing to, where we are related to and connected to something bigger without losing, you know, our governance structures and our DNA and our culture, as it were, where we don't want to lose what's so good about who we are, but benefit by connection and avoid the dangers of isolation. in a world where the enemy loves to pick off those that get isolated. You know, and what do I mean? I think we need to belong to something that in future might help us in the whole area of succession. You know, if I run over by a bus tomorrow, it's not that I'm of greater value to God than anybody else, but if I'm run over by a bus tomorrow, then there are some significant issues for us as a local church. So to belong to something that might help us with succession is important. To belong to something that might help us with training and equipping of future leaders, worship leaders, kids, youth leaders, you know, a place that might give us some shape to grow in our theological reflection and learning, and even training people for future leadership, or people that feel a call on their life into church leadership within the life of this church, being able to go and serve, you know, further afield beyond just here, you know, where we can have access to resources for equipping us for kingdom living and ministry, where there are kids in the youth streams, you know, where we can get our young people off to sort of camps and involved in other ministries and missions further afield, where, you know, where there are opportunities for theological conversations, reflections, you know, a movement that perhaps shares our vision and values, that is committed to us being naturally supernatural, where we can sort of share in a sense of growing development together with others, you know, because we know that in the end, iron sharpens iron. So that is something that we will go on a journey of in this coming year. It may lead us nowhere, but we are going to step off on that journey, and we'll do that together as well. But I want to as well encourage you to get involved in serving. Why? Because it's one of the best ways to accelerate our sense of being part of the community together as we seek to follow the way of Jesus together. You know, and again, I think we need to find someone that can help develop that particular role as we help position people in different areas of service. We have, just in terms of reconnecting, an exciting summer calendar with all sorts of reconnection opportunities. Of course, there are also Sunday celebrations. There is Encounter Equip. We've got one tomorrow evening. That, you know, there are Firefalls. But we've got barbecues coming up. We've got one on the 22nd of May, another one on the 10th of July. You know, get booked in for these events, because they're a great way of getting to know other people in the life of the church. There's a picnic on the 14th of August. You know, we have men's events and men's breakfasts lined up. There are women's breakfasts. There are new women's sort of social type events that are beginning to emerge as well. But opportunities to connect and have some fun together as well. And in the season that lies ahead, we believe that God wants to bring healing and renewal and refreshment to his church. You know, as the Bible says, as for me and my house. It's sort of like it starts with us, Lord. And as we keep leaning into emotional and healthy living and spirituality, you know, we want to remind you that we're running Kintsugi on a regular basis, that there's counseling and spiritual direction out of number 9. We are encountering the presence of the Lord collectively together in ways that we believe are truly transformative, because we need to allow God access to all those places that need healing and restoration in our hearts and our emotions and our lives. We will be doing Alpha again at the start of the new academic year in the autumn. Yes, for seekers, but maybe also for those who find themselves doubting and asking questions about faith and who are on that journey of deconstructing their faith. And I want to encourage you, if you've joined Encounter and you've never done an in-person Alpha, let me encourage you to sign up later on in the year. Not least of all because it will enable you to connect with other folk here. But actually, it's fundamental to who we are, and it will help explain a lot of our core DNA in the end. You know, as I've said, as we look to the future, we want to continue to serve this community and other communities. And as I've said, we want there to be deeper theological reflection in the future, in and around some of the difficult contemporary issues that we are facing today. And as I've said, I hope that we will have an annual lecture in the future that can help us on that. We have to lean into developing, as much as we've made progress with Encounter Kids, we need to lean into developing and finding someone to lead our youth work. And that's significant, that's important, and that will involve financial resourcing, which in part lies behind, you know, much of what we're are asking for the year that lies ahead. But one other thing that I sensed someone say to me over 3.5 years ago when Karen and I first came here, and it was this: don't undertake more, or don't take on more than can be covered by prayer. And because there's more and more happening here, I think we need to look for and to aim to increase intercessory prayer cover, to cover what is going on here. I want to encourage more and more of you to come to Fireful if possible. I want to encourage and develop intercession within the life of the church, because we need to keep praying and praying and praying. And we need to keep tracking God, waiting on God and tracking what it is that he does. And if we want to see more of the kingdom come, if we want to see more of the sort of naturally supernatural that many of us have been birthed in, that then we have to pursue his presence and we have to pray, pray, pray. And I believe, as I've begun my descent here, that the invitation is to lean in to what God is calling us to do in this next season. Individually, for us to lean into God's presence, for us, each of us, it's a personal responsibility to get to as close to him as we possibly can, as close to Jesus as we can, so that we will best replicate who it is that he is and what it is that he calls us to do, and allow him to do everything that he wants to do in and through us, but then for us as a community as well. And this is the invitation to us that lies ahead in this coming year, to lean in and to join in. And I am excited by that, and I really, really hope you are too. So the final question is this, really: how are we going to get there? You know, what do we need to do to move forward? And this is not about a 5-year strategic plan. You know, because after 30-odd years in church leadership, in missional leadership, the only strategy that I have comes from John 15, where we read in verse 5, you know, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in them will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. This Vision Sunday, and every Sunday actually, and every day, Jesus invites us to remain in him, to move forward in him, to center our lives in him, to anchor our lives in him, to put our hope in him. And that is why, as we come to communion, which is a central practice of this church, and something that we realize we miss so much during the lockdown moments of COVID, it's why this is so important. And so, you know, as we're going to take communion in a moment, I want you to prepare for that, maybe to get your bread and juice or wine together now. Because as we take communion as a regular practice in our community, we recalibrate our lives, we recalibrate our story, we recalibrate our pain, we recalibrate our hope, our hopes around Jesus. It's as we take of the body and blood, we are reminded ultimately that we are a community of grace, that we're only here because we needed rescue by his body and blood. And communion reminds us that we are in his story, that all the other stories that we live in, our success, our ambition, our family, our finances, you know, that these are all stories that are beneath the bigger story of who he is and what he's called us to renew this world, to heal the world in his name. And communion reminds us that he is with us. As we receive his body and blood, we're reminded that he promised with these elements that by his Spirit he is with us, that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And as we approach Pentecost Sunday in a little while, that we are filled with his presence through his Spirit. And communion reminds us that we are not alone. And communion finally reminds us that we are not individuals, but we are a family. That this ultimately is a family meal. That Jesus gathered his disciples, that he broke the bread, that he drank the wine, he broke his body and he shed his blood for his family. And that when we come together, when we do this, whether we're online or in the building, we are reminded that we are one. And this is the central practice of the community of Christ, especially when we are in uncharted territory. And we don't know completely what the next season looks like, but I've touched on areas that I think will be relevant to us and areas that we need to step into. But in any uncharted territory, in those moments, the church has always taken communion. So let's center this unknown season. Let's center this turning point in Jesus, who on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." So let's take the bread and let's eat the bread and let's feed on him by faith with thanksgiving. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, the fourth cup of thanksgiving, and he gave thanks. And he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. Well, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." So we drink this and we remind ourselves of his cleansing, of his freedom, of his forgiveness, and ultimately his love. Lord, we thank you for feeding us with your body and your blood. Thank you for the gift of today. We thank you for the gift of one another. We thank you most of all for the gift of your presence. And as we go out of here, Lord, we pray that you would send us out of here, not in our own strength, but as we've fed on you and as we've been envisioned by you, that you would send us out of here in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. And all the people said, Amen. And so, you know, for those of you that are in life groups that want to do personal study, there are questions and reflections to think through in the light of what's been shared today. There's also a response form, a link on the letter that was attached to this presentation, this celebration. We'd love you to respond. We'd love to hear from you. But as we go into this coming week, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace and his grace. And the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be upon each and every one of us, both today and forevermore. Amen.